Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
I'll be like, yo, it's over. It's been a week so far, man. But wake up, wake up, wake up. It's me, your girl, POC. You are now listening live to Revive, man. And guess what? You can listen to us now live on Revive.com. Revive is alive.com. Once again, Revive is alive.com. Go ahead and click that link in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You're now catching us live on Revive is alive.com. I'm excited. I'm extremely excited, man. We dropped the website. The website is booming. I want to know your feedback. Let me know your feedback from the website. You can definitely check out our news stories and our press release for the week on our recap, man. We got so much going on. We took our time with this one, man. I hope the people really, truly love the website. The website is amazing. We got some interviews. We are finally able to put our interviews up there. We got our Marsha Ambrosia interview up there. We got some different pictures from the different events that we was able to go to in 2017. On the website as well. So definitely, man, make sure you guys check out the website. We got some news stories on there to help you guys stay in the loop. No fake news, man. We're not spilling no fake news over here on Revive. So we definitely got some great news stories for you guys coming up as well. That's going to be on that reviveisalive.com website. You can also get some merch. You can get some Revive gear. We coming up with that pretty soon. We got some good things. Me and Tab Money got some good things coming for you guys in the spring. This winter, sheesh, I need to buy them crews, man, because it's cold out here, man. So definitely make sure you go to reviveisalive.com to check out where you can find some merch. Also, you can go to cbelifestyles.com and also catch some Revive merchandise over there as well as some Russell Brand gear. So make sure you guys check that out. And you already know why we reviving your airways each and every Sunday. You can give us a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Use that emergency contact number while we reviving your airways each and every time we blessing your airways. Man, we go live on Sundays and Wednesdays here on Time for an Awakening. So you already know we getting it popping with the weekly thrills, the special guests, the trending topics, everything. So make sure you guys stay in the loop. And that newsletter, though, man, you can now subscribe to that Revive newsletter at revivealive.com. Reviveisalive.com. Because I'm about to say Time for an Awakening. It almost messed me up a little bit. You already know Harmony the Goddess is in the building with me as well.
Peace, love, and light to the planet. I hope everyone is bundled up, got some type of heat going on. Please stay warm because it is below zero outside.
They calling for it. It feel like, yo, every time I step outside, it's like my feet. It just hit my feet first. Like, my feet just like, why are you out here? Why are you playing right now? I'm like, yo. And I be wearing my long johns. I be wearing my socks, and it just does not. It's like frostbites. Like, it's out here. Like, don't play, because I didn't come to play. This weather is not playing with us right now. So, yes, please bundle up. Please keep the kids inside. Yes, snow is fun. Snow is cool. But when they coming back and crying because their hands don't move no more, that's a problem.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when people got up so excited to shovel people's snow when we was younger. No. Nobody going outside right now.
You're tripping, man. I feel for them kids who got them parents that just be like, just get out, go outside and play. And I'm one of those people who encourage, you know, the kids to go out and play. You know what I mean? I'd rather them go out and play than to be on the video games or, you know, on their phones all day. But in this weather, please don't play with them kids like that, man. Just don't play with them kids like that. Do not send them outside to play. Yes, but we got some special guests coming up on Revive. We also got some Weekly Thrill guests coming up on Revive. We have three guests for you guys today, man. We have a jam-packed show. We have three guests coming up for you guys today. We have two artists, two visual artists, man. These two young men, what they're doing with a pen and a canvas and a paintbrush and a canvas is, oh my God, unbelievable. So we definitely have these two artists coming up. Harmony, who we have coming up on the Revive platform?
Yes, we have three amazing guests today, and they're all different. So make sure you tune in to Revive. You can catch it on reviveisalive.com. We have Eddie Kwewa. She is a financial educator, so she's here to talk about some money with you, get your credit together. We also got some visual artists, as POC announced earlier, Kofis Art, and also Daniel Forrester, and these people are from Toronto, so we're going global, baby. So make sure you stay tuned on reviveisalive.com. Also, timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can catch it on there as well.
Definitely. You already know, tune in too. You can go to tune in. You can either download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. Hit Meet Your Girl POC Reviving Your Airways every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Man, I need you guys to wake up, wake up, wake up. Man, that good Sunday morning talk radio. It's just something about morning talk radio that just does something to me. You know what I mean? And that's why I wanted to revive the airways in the morning. I was like, yo, I got to get a morning show. I have to get a morning show. So this is my morning show, man. And I need you guys to engage with me each and every Sunday, man. And that number, once again, is 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. How was your weekend, though, Harmony? What you do this weekend?
My weekend was good. My weekend was good. I spent, you know, I'm always spending time with my family. And then also, I'm just trying to stay warm. That, I think that was, like, to sum up my weekend, honestly. It's just staying warm in the house. I was chilling, getting some work done with, you know, the Revive. Got some work done for y'all. Definitely worked on that. And then also, just, I don't know, this weekend was just a chill weekend. How was yours?
Chill? I worked. I don't know about you. And you were definitely with me at least 70% of the time. So it wasn't chill. We was definitely working. We was working crazy. We made some dope. We made some dope commentary, some dope videos. So I'm really excited about that. Been working with different people, networking and making it our net worth. So we'll be able to put out some dope quality products for you guys, as well as just some images, like just some dope imagery. So I'm really excited to be working with different people around the city of Philadelphia, man. If you want to work with Meet Your Girl POC, all you got to do is hit me up at revive.poc@gmail.com. Once again, that is revive.poc@gmail.com. Let's collab, let's connect, and let's build. 2018 is the year. We all trying to win, man. We all trying to win. So if we can help each other to win, please hit me up. I'm somebody who's forward thinking. I'm someone who is about executing over excuses each and every day. So make sure you guys hit me up if you want to share some love, share some network with me. I can definitely do the same. Yo, you know one thing I did do that was like, yo, I need my own time? I got to watch Grown-ish. I watched both episodes of Grown-ish. I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it on Wednesday because we are alive. You know what I'm saying? Revive is alive. So I didn't catch it on Wednesday. But I did catch it because I had two snow days. Thank God. You know, I was like, yes, I get the work done, man. I got a lot of work done. So I had two snow days, and I got to watch Grown-ish. And it's nothing like a different world. Everyone kept comparing Grown-ish to a different world. But to me, it was not, you know, like a different world at all. I mean, it definitely showed viewpoints from being in college, but being, you know, being young African-American in college, but it definitely didn't give me that different world feel. Before I get my opinion, I want to know how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, I love Grown-ish. Yara, she's just everything to me, and just evolving and flourishing into this beautiful artist that she is. But as far as Grown-ish, I love Black-ish, but as far as Grown-ish, I think maybe that it could be a modern day spinoff from Different World. It's not the same. No, I don't think it is the same, but I think that in today's generation, like, that's kind of how school, college is. So I think it could be a spinoff, but it's definitely not the same as it, but I think it's a modern day. More so, if anything.
Nope, don't agree. I do see where you, you know what I'm saying, you can reference it, but it's not the same at all. Because, you know, Different World was more, and I definitely have to watch more. You know, this is only two episodes that I know literally all the shows that came out when it came to A Different World. But what I'm saying is, it's different because of, it's just different because it's telling a story through one person's lens of how they view college and how they view their friends and the opinions that she has based on what she's interpreting or what she's receiving from the different environments she's in as she step into different places in college. You know what I'm saying? But A Different World was told by 5 to 7 different people, and they're telling their own story. So you're able to get, you know, a little bit of transparency from Dwayne Wade, from Whitley, from Freddie, you know what I mean, from Mr. Gaines, you know, different people like that. So it's different in that sense because Yara, shout out to Yara. Yara is telling the story from her point of view, you know what I'm saying? Versus A Different World is like, we can get the whole situation from a whole different lens. And it was more of a like acting, and not saying that Yara and them are not acting, but it was like, it was a character in A Different World. Like, each character had to play their part in order for the show to be incredible. You know what I mean? You had to have a Whitley. You had to have a Freddie. You had to have a Jaleesa. You know, I'm about to go down the timeline of it, right? But no, like, you just had to have that in order for the show to be amazing. Like, you know, when Jaleesa fell off, you know, we like, yo, what happened to Jaleesa? But then when she came back and got pregnant, you know, like, oh, snap. Denise fell off, we like, yo, where's Denise? But now it's no more about Denise, it's about Dwayne Wade and Whitley love story. You know, it's just so much, it was just like a spiral effect with A Different World. Versus Grown-ish is more like a story. You know, it's just different. And I want to know what you guys are thinking too, man. And it's different in a good way. Now, I'm not putting it down. I'm not saying that the show is trash at all. No, I love the show because it's actually telling the point of view from, you know, era that we're all living in right now, you know, because the first show, she popped out, boom, Adderall, I'm up, I'm doing homework. Like, yo, I'm here, I'm living. I'm like, dang, girl, you didn't get to the middle of the semester yet? You telling all our little secrets? You know what I'm saying? Like, just wait a minute. But you also got to get the, you also got to get it too, think about it, because she's coming from a PWI perspective and they were coming from an HBCU perspective, so it's completely different. I don't know, I went to an HBCU and it happens like that really fast, like simultaneously, like boom boom, you in school, you're trying new things. I completely agree with that one, right? But at the same time, it's like how they did it, like, oh, we got to do this so we can get our work done. Nah, at HBCU it didn't work like that. We was doing that, you know what I'm saying, so we can go have fun, so we can be out and about. It wasn't like, yo, I got to do this so I can focus on my work. It was, I don't remember that happening where I was at, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not doubting other HBCUs, but I'm just saying, like, yeah.
Well, you can't, you know, say, like, we, as if you can speak for the whole HBCU.
Right, my bad. Just myself. I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm just speaking for myself. No, you play too much.
But also, I think that's why I don't, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about Grown-ish is not different World. I don't think of them. I just think of a modern day experience in college. And she kind of explains it from her perspective. But also, it's just a modern day. It's not, I'm not comparing it to any previous shows that's a classic. Nothing would ever compare to that. But at the same time, you got to think about what's going on in this world today. So I don't compare it, but you can't speak for every HBCU because everything is a little different nowadays.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about it today on the show, because I want to know what everyone else is thinking. You know what I'm saying? Because it just dropped Wednesday. Before the show dropped, everyone was comparing it to A New Different World. You know, this is going to be the different world of today's time. So I want to know what you guys are thinking. How are you feeling it? Do you think it's still a great comparison? Do you think it has nothing to do with each other? Do you think it will tie into each other as the show continues to play out? I want to know. 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. But we are going to go to a quick commercial break before we get to our first guest. She's coming up around 11:30. And before we do that, too, I do want to talk a little bit about our attorney general. Jeff Sessions. He's just doing everything he does not need to be doing right now. And Donald Trump set us up all for failure, you guys. Donald Trump set us up for failure. I do not want to talk about Donald Trump. I just want to talk about Jeff Sessions putting a halt and a ban on everything dealing with the marijuana situation when it comes to the state. So I definitely want to just throw a little bit out there about that right after this commercial break. It's Meet Your Girl POC. Tune in. We're reviving your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., people. Make sure you guys give us a call. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Or you can hit us up on our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Revive_POC. Once again, we are live right now on reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. You know what time it is.
African American woman, did you know that breast cancer in black women behaves differently, happens earlier, and is deadlier? If you didn't know, here are a few life-saving tips about breast cancer in black women. First, find a doctor who specializes in African American reproductive health. Preliminary research suggests that part of the reason why breast cancer is different in African Americans is because of their reproductive biology. A doctor who specializes in black women's health better understands the role that those differences play. Start your mammograms early. Think you don't need to start getting mammograms until you're in your 40s? Not if you're an African-American woman. A recent study at the University of Chicago found that 40 is too late for many black women. Talk to your doctor about risk factors and the ideal age for you to start. Insist on following up. Today, black women have mammograms at the same rate as the majority of the population. But when it comes to follow-up appointments after abnormal test results, they're falling behind the pack. Don't let fear keep you from early treatment that could save your life. And if you don't believe your doctor is proactive enough, get a second opinion. Know your risk factors. Did you get your period before the age of 12? Does breast cancer run in your family? These and other risk factors increase the chances that you'll develop breast cancer during your lifetime. Share these risk factors with your doctor, even if they don't ask. Exercise. 4 out of 5 black women are overweight, and that extra weight leads to higher estrogen levels that increase your risk of developing breast cancer after menopause. So let's get moving and stay moving.
Thank you. that teens now spend more than 7.5 hours a day in front of a screen? Wow, that's a long time.
More and more people are getting attached to technology and are therefore not getting enough exercise. This act can lead to a growth in obesity. That is why it is important to go outside and get some exercise. Exercise controls weight and also reduces depression and anxiety. Do some form of exercise at least 3 times a week. Teens who exercise are 36% less likely to develop brain tumors. Take a stand against obesity and exercise every few days. This will help in the long run and will lead you to a happier...
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness. Yep, yep. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We back live, man. We live right now on reviveisalive.com. Once again, we are live right now on reviveisalive.com. Make sure you guys, you can also go to TuneIn. You guys can check out TuneIn. You can check us out on TuneIn. You can go to the website or you can download the app and just search Time for an Awakening. You hear me each and every Sunday live on your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can also go to timeforanawakening.com/revive, and you can check us out there as well, man. Yo, Harmony, we booming. Now that I think about it, I'm all counting. I'm like, yo, we got 3 ways for the people to tune in. You can tune in 3 different ways. Talk heavy. You can tune in 3 different ways now, and people. Once again, reviveisalive.com, timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to tune in and just search Time for an Awakening, and you're going to hit me live on your airways, man. But I do want to jump into this really quick before we get into our next guest, man. She is a financial literacy coach. She's going to teach us everything we need to know about how we can save our credit and just stack our money in 2018. But, yo, we got to jump into this Jeff Sessions situation, man. Everyone, if you are someone who is, you know, a weed smoker, if you're someone who, you know, deals with recreational weed on a daily basis, you are going to feel this one. Because just when we thought, you know, we had some wiggle room, you know, California just celebrated earlier this week, and then you got haters up there in Pennsylvania Avenue, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, hating on us, man. So your boy Jeff Sessions just pulled the cover from over our eyes. Of course, they're trying to repeal everything Barack Obama did for us, Barack Obama. So, yo, Harmony, read a little bit about it. We're reading this off of CNN, so we're citing our source, and that is CNN.com.
Yeah, so Jeff Sessions announced Thursday that he is rescinding the Cole memo, which reflected the Department of Justice's relatively passive policy under the Obama administration since August 2013 on enforcement of federal cannabis laws. A fund of marijuana-based stocks dropped more than 9% in value, and as a sign of how mainstream marijuana has become, Sessions' decision to repeal the Cole memo and Obama-era protection for states that have legalized marijuana even affected the stock price of stocks Miracle Grow Company, which dropped more than 5%. So business leaders in an industry that was worth $7.9 billion in 2017 called Sessions' action revoking, outrageous, and economically stupid. How you feel about that?
I feel the same. Economically stupid, right? Yo, like, what are you doing? Like, and then I don't even get the point. You're talking about this is the biggest, you know, war on drugs. Like, yo, opioid is going crazy. Like, it's so many pharmaceutical drugs that are going crazy right now that people are popping, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Advil. Like, what are you talking about? How is marijuana affecting people? I really want to know that. And if you have an answer to that question, if you have, you know, if you're on the other side of the fence with the whole, you know, legalizing marijuana, I really want to know, because I want to know how it's affecting people. They're making it a medical drug for a reason, because what it can do medically for people, how it's helping people when it comes to depression, anxiety, and everything else. Like, I don't see how marijuana is hurting or stopping or killing people. I haven't even heard of one case where marijuana has killed people, but you're still able to sell liquor. You know what I'm saying? You're still able to buy liquor time and time again. Like, it's a liquor store on every corner in the urban cities. Like, what's up with you? So what are you talking about? Like, I really want to know what you're talking about. And if you think about it, who is consuming the most cannabis? Who is consuming the most cannabis? I really, like, come on, let's do our research. Go do your Googles to see who's consuming the most cannabis, right? Like, this is something that, it's just messy. Like, the GOP did not have to do this. You know, Jeff Sessions is definitely going to lose his job over this one. Because people with them zeros and them commas coming right at them. You can't mess with their money. You know what I'm saying? So by this messing with their money, you already know they're going to mess with your money too. And I want to know how this is going to play out. How you feel about it?
I feel that, you know, something was going to happen with the whole marijuana and legalizing it. Because so many people consume it. And to make a dollar, they always have to put, you know, taxes on it, or they have to make it commercialized or something in order to take it back from people that are actually benefiting people instead of destroying them, such as cigarettes, such as alcohol, such as all of these things that they have commercials and all this mass media out there. Subliminally going into people's minds, but they're turning the perception around marijuana into a negative drug instead of something that could actually benefit you in a long run. So,
well, I think it's just the control purpose of it, because honestly, they're just trying to control it. They're trying to regulate it, and they want it to be more on a federal level. Right now, it's on a state level. What Obama did, he gave the rights to the states to be able to control how they want to move when it comes to cannabis. And, you know, if it's going to be recreational or if it's going to be medical. So that's what I think it is. I think it's coming down to just straight control and how the federal government wants to have their hand in every pot. And that's where the states are, you know, going upward for, because it's like, yo, this is not about you. This has nothing to do with you. This has everything to do with my state and how I'm going to govern my state. So let's just think about what, you know, legalizing cannabis on a recreational side and a medical side did for the state of Colorado. Colorado is booming right now. You know, money is rolling in right now. Their grass is green on the other side right now, man. If you go to Colorado, you're going to get a breath of fresh air, because, you know, it's no pollution, it's no trash. They went green. Physically and literally, right? They went green. Like, it's just so, it's so much about Colorado that just went on an up and up because of, you know, them making the decision of legalizing cannabis. And I think that that's why, you know, states such as Colorado, Massachusetts, things like that are following up, because it is something that is making an impact on that state. Let's just think about the District of Columbia. Medical marijuana is legal. You even have some recreational that is legal as well, but they have, you know, stipulations, of course. But I'm just saying, let's just think about how it has affected the District of Columbia. Then also Maryland has medical. We just talked to Hope Wiseman, who was 25, one of the youngest cannabis dispensary owners around, you know, and she's African American. Shout out to Hope Wiseman. She was actually on our show as well, so make sure you guys go check out that episode. But yeah, so it's an epidemic that is going to help all of us. You know what I'm saying? It's going to help all of us. It's going to help the people in the states. It's going to help people in the communities. I think it's going to be something that can be extremely great for the people who are actually paying taxes in those states. Honestly, truly. So, Jeff Sessions, please go take several seats. I hope you get the same exit that Omarosa did as well, because that is something that you did not have to meddle in. And, of course, you had to put your 2 cents in it, but you did not have to do that. So, I really want to see how that plays out, because I know a lot of people are jumping up in arms about that. So, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We got to go to a quick commercial break. We're having some sounds right now, so we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And our next guest is up next. Her name once again,
Addie Kwewa. She is a financial educator, and she's here definitely to help people save money and also their credit work for them. So we are looking forward to speaking with her, definitely.
I'm ready, excited to be speaking to her, man. I'm ready, and I'm really excited. We're going to go to a quick commercial break just to give you guys some sounds real quick before we jump into it with our next guest. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. Oh,
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can motivate your audience.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can teach your children.
I can boost your bottom line.
I can add value to your workplace.
I could be a loyal and productive employee.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
If you don't recognize my talents and ability.
If you don't hire me.
If you don't have an open mind and a workplace that's open to everyone.
If you don't realize that America works best when everybody works.
What can you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
You can remember that it worked.
It's what people can do.
It's what people can do that matters.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness. Proof of consciousness. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. Revive, and you can also catch us live on reviveisalive.com. Once again, you can catch us live on reviveisalive.com. You can also go to TuneIn. You can either search or go to the website or download the app and just search Time for an Awakening. You're going to hear me reviving your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Sunday, man. Once again, you can also subscribe to that Revive newsletter. You can now subscribe at reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Got everything you need to know to stay in the loop with us going on here at Revive. And you already know we got our first guest coming up. I'm excited to be speaking with her. It's the top of the year, so you already know we had to put some financial literacy out there for you guys, so you know how you can stack your money in 2018.
Yes, we have Addie K. Wah. For 8 years, she has saved 300 plus people up to $170,000 by showing them how to make their money and credit work for them. She believes financial education is a must to live a stable life. Welcome to the platform, Addie K. Wah.
Hey, how are you?
How are you? Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm great. I'm speaking with you, man. I hope you teach me how I can save some money in 2018.
But definitely.
No doubt.
You know, one thing for sure that I try to tell people all the time is just, it's not difficult. You have to learn how to have some sort of discipline. The main thing I try to tell people too is that first, a lot of the times when we know that money is coming in, we automatically start planning out who we have to pay first, what bill is due now, and then we kind of live off the rest when it should be the other way around. Hey, you know, even if you're paying yourself $10 to $15 every paycheck, you still need something to show for it after you're done paying your bills. So the biggest tip is really pay yourself and then learn how to be disciplined.
No doubt. And I love how you just jump right up into it, man. By you saying that, you just stimulated some more great questions that I have for you. But before you get into it a little bit deeper for us, I do want you to go ahead and reiterate who you are and what you actually do for the people. I know that we introduced you, but can't nobody introduce yourself like how you can.
Definitely. Okay, so my name is Atiqua. Financial educator, been in the finance and credit industry for the last 8 years. I'm 24 years old, so I've been in the finance and credit industry since I hit 16. I've been really focused on financial stability and education because a lot of people that I run into just didn't understand their own personal finances, and that's a problem. And the main issue that stuck out with me is banks don't really educate you all the way because it affects their bottom line. If you know everything, it's going to start cutting into their profits and their pockets. And my thing is, if someone is trusting me to hold their money, to be a full disclosure. My mom always told me, even if you didn't say anything, by simply omitting something, it's a lie. So you're lying to people about their money and they're trusting you to hold it. So the main reason I got into this is because people need to understand their finances. It's their livelihood.
I'm with you on that one, definitely. So by you saying your mom's, are you someone who's handling all the financials when it comes to your entire family?
So the funny thing is, my mom, I was kind of in charge of paying the bills at home. Like, she'd tell me, hey, go ahead and pay this, go ahead and pay that, go ahead and call this utilities company and set up a payment arrangement. Like, I got started early. I hated doing it, but now I kind of understand why she did it. One, she needed assistance when she couldn't do it, but two, it also taught me that this is what I'm going to be doing in the real world.
I'm with you on that one. So when you say, finance, we all know how important financial literacy is, right? But how would you say understanding it? How would you say, you know, the capabilities of a person understanding it? How hard is it for them? Because I know you've been coaching and different things like that. So when you come to doing your consultations, is it something that, and not to call people average, but is it something that an everyday person typically would understand right off the bat, or is it something you have to, like, break down into different sessions?
Sometimes it's something I have to break down into different sessions. A lot of the things that I go over and that I teach as far as personal finance is common sense. And, sometimes it's not that people don't know or they don't understand. Sometimes they just need a third party to kind of break it down for them some more. It's like, oh, I need help looking for something, when you're staring right at it, and then somebody comes into the room, not even realize you're looking for it, and they can point it out right then and there.
So when it comes to financial literacy, would you say that understanding how your expenses was previously can affect your expenses going forward is important as well? Like, should you focus on the bad habits that you once had, or you should just focus directly on, you know, everything that you're doing now with the financial?
Oh, no, you have to focus on everything. All of your bad habits, your vices, your good habits, everything affects your finances. So, like, the main problem a lot of people that I talk to in my one-on-ones is that they like to eat out a lot. And their big complaint is, oh, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Well, you have to focus on what you're doing as to why you're living paycheck to paycheck. Granted, I understand that with the way the economy is, you know, wages aren't really the greatest. But there are certain ways that you can combat it. So you need to look at what you're spending. Are you spending unnecessarily on going out, eating out, entertainment, drinking? Like, can you sit down and actually create a budget and say, hey, you know what, a month I'm not going to spend no more than $100 instead of spending $100 every week on eating out, entertainment. So it's really all about focusing on what you're doing now so you can get better later.
Definitely. And I love how you said, you know, wages. You know, wages can really affect a lot of different things that you're trying to do when it comes to your spending habits. Could you break down what, you know, a living wage and a minimum wage actually means to you, you know, by you being a financial coach?
So I really hate the term minimum wage because that's just, you know, a legal term pretty much just saying, oh, a company in the United States can't pay you less than this. Minimum wage, you can't live off of that in the United States. I don't care what anybody says. For me, a living wage is you being at least able to pay your bills comfortably. Even if you don't have any extra bills, I mean, extra money left over after paying your bills, at least you'd rather be broke after paying your bills instead of broke before paying your bills.
Facts. Facts. That is definitely all facts. Definitely. Right there. So when it comes to different clients that you're consulting, do you say that 90% of them are living off of minimum wages or living off of living wages?
I want to say most of them are living off of living wages. Like, I haven't met anybody yet. Well, I take that back. There is one client that I'm working on, and her budget is really strapped. But it's not because it's minimum wage. It's just because of how her finances are allocated when it comes to her bills. Like, I believe right now, typically most of her income is going to rent because she lives in D.C. D.C. is not cheap.
At all.
So There are ways that she can, you know, get her budget under control. Maybe she needs to commute a little farther, but find someplace cheaper. So most of my clients, they are living with a living wage. It's just how they're allocating their finances.
I'm with you on that one. And so one thing that I was reading when I was, you know, doing my research on you, you said that money is a tool and it should be used as such. Go ahead and explain that quote to us.
So a lot of people have like this mindset of, you know, I want to, my ultimate goal is to make $100,000, which is cool and there's nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, when money is just the goal itself, there's nowhere else for you to go after that. How about say, you know, I want to make $100,000 a year so I can do X, Y, and Z. That way your goals aren't stale and your money's actually working for you. Sometimes we are constantly, you know, shaking for our dollars instead of making our dollars shake for us sometimes. We shouldn't really be trying to kill ourselves over a dollar. We need to be working on towards our goals. Like, money is always going to be a byproduct, but for your byproduct to be the goal, it creates an unhealthy relationship with money. So really, your money needs to be working for you. That's what I mean by it should be a tool.
So by you saying money should be working for you, do you believe that money is an asset? Especially in 2018, do you think money is still an asset?
As of right now, I do think money is an asset because that's what people want. People don't want to talk to you unless you have, you know, money. Your bill collectors aren't going to want to talk to you if you don't have money. So I think right now it is an asset, but I think with the way things are changing, and I feel like things are about to be really digitalized in the future as far as income and money and how things are paid for. Right now, I'll just say right now, I think it is an asset.
And then when it comes to, you know, I'm now like a little sweet, like how money can be an asset, because it's so many different ways now that money is, you know, becoming a currency, because now you have like the Bitcoin and the Coinbase, and now you actually, of course, you always have, you know, the tangible dollar bill. So it kind of varies that way. Do you think by them throwing in now the Bitcoin and, you know, all the coin currency, do you think that's going to change the by it being an asset or the value of an actual tangible dollar bill?
Definitely. Right now, our dollar isn't even worth a dollar. And I think a lot of people realize that that's why Bitcoin has been as big as it has, is because, one, people want to be anonymous when they're making certain purchases. And then also, two, it's faith in fiat currency like that anymore, or at all. It's seeing how government can just keep printing out money and keep printing it, and then end up in an inflation period. So I think Bitcoin and other altcoins and cryptocurrencies are going to be one of those things that people are going to be flocking to, because it creates a value for them in their mind, and it's ultimately going to decrease the value of the dollar. Maybe not next year, maybe that not 5 years from now, but eventually it's going to happen.
And when you say Bitcoin, right, like as we're talking about Bitcoin, do you think that Bitcoin is something that everyone should be jumping in right now, or it's not something that is for everyone? It's just something for a certain caliber of person or a certain comma you may have behind your zero?
Well, first, let me preface this with, I'm not an investment advisor. I just strictly educate. So whatever information that I provide is just for you to do research on later on. Personally, the only way or the only reason I would be buying Bitcoin is so I can convert it to another altcoin or another cryptocurrency. I think Bitcoin was good for investors when they first started out a couple of years ago, even up until the beginning of this year. But because they're decentralized, what baffles me is people actually think that our government that our government will allow a decentralized currency to stand without being regulated in any kind of way. Once regulations start coming down, the value of Bitcoin is going to plummet, in my opinion. Whereas the other cryptocurrencies, because there is going to be a new wave, but they're learning from Bitcoin. and there are going to be cryptocurrencies that are probably going to be regulated, but also going to be maybe a better investment because of learning from the mistakes that Bitcoin has made.
Man, you dropping some gems because I want to keep going on and on. I'm like, yo, so what is the cryptocurrency? What does that mean? And how can I get in, right? Definitely, man.
Yeah.
That's like on a whole nother level when it comes to financial literacy, right? So some people are just learning how to save $5. You know, some people are just learning how to pay themselves. Some people are just learning how to get their bills in order. And now you have this, you know, cryptocurrency coming in. You got the Coinbase coming in. It's a lot for, you know, a person to fully understand. And that's why we need people like you out here who are willing to, you know, take their time out to teach people, you know, different ways of how to save their money and just how to invest their money as well. Do you dabble into stocks at all?
I do. I have a couple of stocks and a couple of cryptocurrencies. So far, they've made me a couple of dollars, but that's a topic for definitely another day. But one thing that I do want to say is, because I am someone who believes that money should be working for you, if you are someone who is kind of just starting out and trying to, you know, get organized and create a budget and just learn how to have stability, don't jump into investments, because investment, you have to have the mindset of you'll never see this money again. We see stocks and investments like Bitcoin that have given people over 900,000 percent return on investment. That's not an everyday thing. So unless you can afford to be missing that money and unless you can afford to take that risk, don't just jump into investments, because none of them are FDIC insured, meaning that if something happens to the economy or the stock market, you're not getting your money back. So unless you can afford to be missing a couple hundred dollars, don't touch it. There are other safe investments that you can do besides the stock market.
Thank you for that one. Thank you. But I have a question to follow up with that one. So would you say or would you recommend for someone who is living off a living wage to start to dabble into investments such as stocks and bonds? And if so, like, how should you start it? Should you go to like an eTrade.com? Should you actually go out to get someone who, you know, is doing the stock market? How should you, you know, get your first foot in the door?
If you're someone who is living on living wages, meaning like you have enough to pay your bills and that's it, I'd still say no, because no matter what kind of investment that you're looking into, even if it is FDIC or NCUA insured, it's still a risk. Like a lot of the accounts that are insured, you're going to have to leave your money in there for a while, or you're not going to be seeing any return on it, return on investment. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. The accounts that are NCUA insured, and I guess, or FDIC insured, would be like money market accounts or high yield savings accounts. Those, they have yields up to, I think I've seen up to 1.40% APY, which is pretty good in our economy. But the only way you're going to see that is if you can afford to be missing money for a year, 2 years, or 5 years, because it's a compounding interest account, which means if there's no balance in there, you're not getting any interest. So you're just leaving money. You're just kind of wasting money.
Yes, man. Thank you for that, Jim. I hope everyone out there who's tuning in right now is taking notes, because she is definitely dropping some gems, man. We are live right now on topfundawakening.com/revive. Make sure you guys are tuning in. So I have my next question for you. So when it comes to the vocabulary words, because I'm sitting here listening, I'm actually taking some notes myself, right? Because it's the top of the year and I'm trying to save as much money as possible. But when it comes to the vocabulary words, you just dropped some compound interest, you know what I'm saying? You dropped the ROI, the ROA, the 401k, things like that. Do you think it's important for us to know these key words, or do you just figure it out as they're coming?
Oh, no, it's definitely important for you to know these keywords, because there's a huge difference between simple interest and compound interest. Now, Albert Einstein, I think that's Albert Einstein or either Benjamin Franklin. No, probably Albert Einstein. His quote was, smart people find a way to get paid interest and dumb people pay interest. And as harsh as it sounds, it's kind of true. Like, if you have an account that, okay, so, like, your student loans and your credit cards are compounding interest accounts. Compound means you're paying interest on top of interest on top of principal. You don't want to be paying that. You're paying double interest for one principal balance. Whereas if you're getting paid compound interest, it's interest on top of interest plus the principal balance in your account. You want to be getting paid that. So it's a huge difference between simple interest, because simple interest is, you know, it's not, it's the complete opposite of compounding interest. You're getting charged interest once. That's it. Like your car note. It accrues every 30 days, but it's not, if you're, oh gosh. Okay. So if you're not, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, I love your energy. You was about to break it down. You're like, all right, let me bring it back so you guys can fully understand.
Yes. Simple interest is the complete opposite of compound interest. It just simply means that you're getting charged one type of interest. That's it. Whereas compounding interest, you're getting charged two types of interest for one balance. So when you're looking into credit products or you're looking into investment products, you want to stay away from compounding interest credit products, or at least know the secret of paying them down if you have to get a compounding interest account like student loans or credit cards. But if you're looking for an investment product, you definitely want them to be compounding interest accounts. You don't want to pay interest. You want to get paid it.
That's a fact, man. Since speaking of interest, right? So right now you're speaking to a millennial audience. So right now we are being trampled with it when it comes to our student loans, especially when it comes to the interest on the student loans, because the interest on student loans occur every 24 hours, right? So what kind of advice would you give us when it comes to repaying our student loans and then, you know, trying to not pay as much interest on the loan that we took out 4, 5, 6 years ago? You know what I'm saying?
So definitely. And I'm going to actually do a real plug real quick, because I actually just finished doing a training. I have a bundle that will teach you how to pay off your compounding interest account quickly, as well as how to properly buy a car without leaving thousands of dollars on the table before and after, and even if you have bad credit. So there's a bundle training that I have that teaches you pretty much the basics of your finances to your credit products. But what I will say on how to combat it is, one main tip is to make an additional payment to your principal balance. So you're going to have to call your servicer for this, because what happens is when you're constantly making an additional payment to your principal on top of your minimum payment, your principal balance is being knocked down, but so is your interest. So you're not getting hit with interest as much. And another bonus tip is, if you're someone who is just starting school or you still have a couple of years until you graduate, start paying your student loans before you graduate. You're not accruing interest during this period. So if you're going to school for 4 years, you have 4.5 years to be knocking down that principal balance. If you pay $250 for 54 months, that 4.5 year period, you're knocking down a good $13,500 off your principal balance. That's not touching interest at all.
I'm with you on that one. Thank you for that. So pretty much what you're saying is, I seriously doubt if anyone in college is about to start paying for their loans, because we can't even afford a meal. You know, we still eat noodles in college. So I seriously doubt they're going to start paying in college, but I do understand what you're saying. So if you're going to pay more to your interest, and that will bring down that will start to bring down the principal balance. Did I hear that right?
So on top of making your minimum payment, call your servicer to make a payment directly to principal. When you make a payment to principal, it's knocking your interest payments down.
Because you don't have to necessarily pay for that 30 days because you made an extra payment to that principal amount early?
No. So your interest is being compounded on top of your principal balance. The higher your principal balance is, the more interest you're going to be paying. Whereas if you're constantly making additional payments to your principal balance, you're lowering your balance, which means you're lowering the amount that you're paying for interest.
Okay. I'm definitely going to make that phone call, because I need to understand. where my money is going. I feel like I'm making payments, but nothing is going down when it comes to the actual loan. I feel like everything is going directly towards the interest. So I feel like that's how they're getting us over there on the Department of Education. They're really, really getting us when it comes to these interests. Because, like, if you think about it now, I'm not sure if you're following the student loan track, but if you think about it right now, like, the interest is, like, at 7.9, 8.1.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. By the time we graduate, or by the time someone graduates, it's literally going to go from a $20,000 loan to a good $42,000 loan real quick, real fast. Like, and that's just accruing over time every 24 hours. So if you're listening, man, make sure you guys call your loan servicer today. And one thing I would definitely say about student loans is that it's affecting your credit. Student loans affect your credit. And
yep.
That's exactly what you do. You help people to repair their credit. So I definitely want to jump into that a little bit before we let you go today. So can you explain to us how you help people repair their credit and how you get it back into good standings?
So for one, one thing that I do is I kind of have, if someone wants me to help them with setting up or how to get their credit back on track, I have them pull their credit report. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, Credit Karma, Credit Sesame, Credit Wise, any free credit monitoring site, those are not your real credit scores. If it's not from FICO, you're not getting your whole picture. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, I have a 650, but when they actually get a FICO score, or they try to apply for credit and say, oh, you actually have a 550, it's because they actually pulled FICO and not Credit Karma. Those use a different scoring model that most lenders don't touch. So if you are someone who's trying to monitor your credit, you need to have a MyFICO.com account because it gives you all 12 of your credit scores. But anyhow,
I said I didn't even know it was 12. That's crazy.
So you actually have a credit score for different products. You have your general scores, you have scores for your credit card, you have scores for mortgage, you have scores for car buying. And for each score, you have TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. So you have, those are your 12 scores right there.
They don't teach us this in college, man. They do not teach us this in college at all. And I'm a business major, you hear me? So I did not know anything about that. So that's really, really, really a gem for me. I'm going to definitely take that away from this interview. But before we let you go, I want you to introduce yourself once again. Let the people know how they can find you, your websites, how they can find you if they want to contact you for consultations and things like that.
Definitely. My name is Atiqua. I'm a financial educator, been in the finance and credit industry for the last 8 years. I have helped over 300 people save up to $170,000. My main goal is to get people understanding their finances, because when you know better, you do better. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Periscope as That Finance Chick, all one word. You can go to thatfinancechick.biz and you can schedule a consultation, or you can click the link in my bio on Instagram to do so. And if you want to get weekly finance tips and dibs on secret sales, you can text Finance Chick, one word, to 33222.
I'm with you on that, man. I want to say thank you for coming and supporting us here in Revive and dropping as many gems as you did. We appreciate that. You're definitely going to get some connects off of this. I appreciate that once again, man. And before I let you go, man, please drop one last gem. Like, what is one last tip that you can give us when it comes to just stacking within the first 90 days of the year? The first 90 days of the year, how can we save some quick money?
Save some quick money. You got to learn how to sacrifice. If you got to think, you have to think in the long run. Is this product that I'm trying to purchase now, is this going to benefit me later on? If it's not, leave it alone. Put that money into your savings account.
And keep it moving straight like that, man. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a great week. Stay warm, please, man. It's freezing out here. Stay warm.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That wraps up a great interview, man. Dropping some gems right at the top of the year, man. Save some money. If it's not worth it, put it back in your pocket straight like that, man. Save yourself some money. When it comes to student loans, man, make sure you guys hit up your loan counselors today. Do not keep paying them money that you don't have. Tell them people to put that money on that principal right now. That's how I'm feeling, man. Make sure you're putting that money on that principal, man. I just want to thank her for coming through and dropping some gems when it comes to financial literacy. Make sure you guys hit her up. Once again, you can find her on Instagram at that finance chick. That is that finance chick. Click that link in her bio so you can definitely sign up for some consultations today. We're going to go to a quick commercial break before we get up to our next guest. Man, we have two dope visual artists coming up on the Revive platform today. They're going to paint a picture today on the airway so you guys can know how truly, truly incredible their artwork is, man. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.
Did you know only 25% of college students eat the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables? A limited intake of fruits and vegetables has been linked to chronic diseases such as diabetes, obesity, and heart disease. The typical freshman gains over 4 pounds their first term on campus. The habits college students form today will carry into their adult life.
Did you know that teens now spend more than 7.5 hours a day in front of a screen? Wow, that's a long time.
More and more people are getting attached to technology and are therefore not getting enough exercise. This act can lead to a growth in obesity. That is why it is important to go outside and get some exercise. Exercise controls weight and also reduces depression and anxiety. Do some form of exercise at least 3 times a week. Teens who exercise are 36% less likely to develop brain tumors. Take a stand against obesity and exercise every few days. This will help in the long run and will lead you to a happier.
This is the story of a boy who didn't talk for a long time. The boy liked things to always be the same. Any changes would scare and upset him. The unknown was an unfriendly place. The boy was very sensitive to lights and sounds. So he built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. The boy didn't like looking people in the eye. He wasn't trying to be mean. It just made him feel uncomfortable. Sometimes he would flap his arms again and again.
One day, I found out I have something called autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I found my voice and learned all the ways I could live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Thank you.
y'all see the stuff I posted on my wall?
No, it didn't even show up in my newsfeed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either.
Nah, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy Black365.com.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC.
You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We are live right now on reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com, or you can go directly to tune in. You can go to the app or search right now on their website, Time for an Awakening. You will hear Meet Your Girl POC reviving your airways each and every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and each and every winning Wednesday. We are winning here at Time for an Awakening, so make sure you guys tune in each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And you already know you can find us right now on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. Make sure you guys go check our pages, and you can leave some comments under there. We will read them live on air. We appreciate your support each and every time we are reviving your airways, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the love and the support. But you already know, man, we got some special guests coming up on the Revive platform today. I'm excited to be speaking with them because the art that they put out, man, it just touches me in so many different ways, man. These two dope artists are coming from Canada, man. They're coming from Canada right now. They're putting out some amazing work. They're dope visual artists. They are creating different art with different, just like on a different canvas. Like, you just think, like, sometimes when you look at their art, like, it's just gonna jump right back at you. They're creating visual art. They're creating different, I can't even explain the kind of art that they're creating because it's so epic. And I already know that they're going to come in and bless these airwaves today, man. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming up on the Revive platform today?
Yes, we have Kofis, who is a visual art, and he is definitely going to let y'all know how to create some expressions. So we welcome you definitely to Revive platform, Kofis.
Hey, Kofis, how are you doing today? Kofis, how are you? You live on Revive. How you feeling today?
Hey, I'm doing well, thanks.
Awesome, awesome, man. You're live right now. You're in Canada right now, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Man, I appreciate it. And I think that I'm cold. How cold are you up there right now?
Oh, man, it's really bad over here.
It is crazy.
Yeah, it's freezing.
What is the degrees up there? What is the temperature?
I think it's -17, but they say it feels like -31.
Oh my gosh! Like, are you guys in some kind of cold blue, cold red right now? Are you allowed outside?
We've had some pretty warm winters over the years. So like, now that it's back to normal, it's hitting us really hard right now.
I'm with you on that. And are you originally from Canada, or did you just move up there?
No. I was born in Ghana. I left there when I was 4, moved to France for a year, and then moved to Canada, Montreal, stayed there for another year, and spent most of my life in Toronto.
awesome. So you had a, you know, you had a little bit of everything. You was a traveler. You were traveling. You had a little bit of everything. Yeah. So how is Canada?
Just a little bit.
How has Toronto been showing you love when it comes to your art? Like, as I'm just looking at your visuals, I'm just like at an awe. Like, how has Canada showed you love throughout, you know, your stay there when it comes to your art?
Oh man, the community in Toronto, the support has been amazing. I know that that's really hard to come by in Toronto, only because you know, over the years, we've been looking to the States for a lot of our inspiration, and in Toronto, primarily, people have been, you know, it's not cool if you're coming from Toronto. It's not valid if you're coming from Toronto, but if anything is coming out of the States, New York specifically, then the support has been there a lot more. So the way that I've been getting a lot of support from Toronto is crazy. Like, I have no complaints.
That's love. That's love. Are you traveling? You mentioned New York, so are you like traveling right now when it comes to your art? Are you doing different art shows?
2015 I did the New York Art Expo. That was my second major art exhibit. Now I'm looking to going to California, Atlanta, the Bahamas, and I'm doing a wedding in Jamaica during the summer.
Awesome. And you're doing live painting when you go to these different events?
It's a combination. Some of them are live painting. Some of them are exhibits for shows and events.
Artist, would you say? I know we kept calling you a visual artist, but I definitely don't want to, you know, put that out there if that's not what you are. So what kind of artist would you actually say that you are?
I don't leave that up to you guys to classify. I just love to create, and what people are seeing now is that, you know, I paint and I draw, but I also work in the community. I'm a community health worker. And a lot of my creativity comes out in the programs that I design.
So, and when it comes to painting, like, for some reason, I just don't feel like you're using an average paintbrush or you're using average paint. It is something different about your paintings. Like, it's just something different. Like, is it like a Crayola kind of? Like, what is it? Like, why does it look like it's going to touch you?
I don't know. All I can say is, I'm definitely self-taught, and I basically paint off of instinct. So, yes, I have referenced a few pieces, but for the most part, I usually put the paint on canvas and then just let my imagination take control. As long as I have music, good conversation, and vibrant colors, the painting pretty much paints itself. But I to answer your question specifically, I use acrylic paints mostly.
It looks amazing. Whatever you're doing with that acrylic paint, it looks amazing. And would you say that the type of paint that you use can actually, you know, have an outcome to whatever, you know, you're trying to do? Would you say that it can affect the outcome to your paintings based on the kind of paint that you use?
Absolutely. I mean, there's artists out there that could create magic with pretty much anything that you give to them. I'd like to believe that I'm like that. I just have my comfort zone. As long as it's right for me, I could pretty much work with it.
And also you said music and good conversation. Would you consider that to be your muse? Like, would you consider that something that you have to have around you in order to paint, or could you just vibe out, you know, one day while you're just at home thinking, you just pop up something and you just start painting? Has that ever happened, or you have to have your muse around you?
My philosophy around that is basically by any means. So whether or not I have music or a good conversation, I'm going to create. I find that when I do have music, though, my pieces come out a lot better, in my opinion.
Once again, you are live right now speaking with Meet Your Girl POC and our guest right now, Kofi's Art Man. I'm extremely excited to be speaking with him. He's coming from Canada right now. He's telling us about his art. And I do want to jump into Freedom Fridays. You are the founder of Freedom Fridays. Can you go ahead and tell the audience what Freedom Friday actually is?
Freedom Fridays is a platform for artists to basically showcase their talent and build community with their art. So when you come to Freedom Fridays, what you'll see is live art, you'll see performing art, culinary arts, and it's an event once a month where we serve food to the community free of charge. And the space pretty much builds itself. So although there isn't a set structure to the evening, what happens is, based on the elements that are placed in there, like a live DJ, live artists and performances and food, we pretty much build the night together as a group. We started out engaging about 8 people per night, and reached as many as 3,000 people.
3,000?
On average. Yeah, I know it's a big jump.
That's a large
On average, you'll probably see like 150, 175 every month, and then a little bit more.
So Freedom Friday, is this something that, you know, you just thought of and say, hey, I want to be able to express myself and I want to do it around, you know, more creative people or just a dope environment? Is that something that you just thought of, or this is something that you always wanted to do when you started, you know, your career when it came to you being a painter?
Well, how it came up. So like I said, I'm a community health worker, and part of my job entails programs that provide resources to the community. So what's been happening is there's been the same conventional programs that have been happening. And for the most part, the people who attend, they enjoy it. But I found that there's a bit of a freeze up in terms of opening up and then sharing while the program was running. And then as soon as the program all the things that needed to happen to create, I guess, such a strong, beautiful space would happen. So people would be speaking freely. They'd be sharing their talents and skills. They would be talking about the different things that they need as it pertains to their health. Everything would come out. So I was like, maybe I should create something where, excuse me, where there's no expectation to do anything, so that would allow people to open up a lot more. And I figure art is like the universal language. So whether it's performing arts, visual arts, different types of art, it's one thing that makes it really inclusive for as many people as possible to come together. So my plan was to create something that just had a space, had music, and had food. And then from there, the plan was for it to build itself. And that's pretty much where it came from.
That's dope. Do you have to be an artist in order to attend? Can you be someone who's just like, yo, this is a dope event, I don't have nothing to do Friday, I'm just going to pull up on Freedom Fridays? Is that something that anyone can participate in?
So I would answer that question is, I think every single person is an artist.
Facts.
It's all a matter of finding what your art form is. And so, yeah, to answer your question directly, no, you don't have to identify as an artist. The hope is that once you get there, you'll be inspired to, seek out and find what your art form is.
I'm with you on that one. I love how you brought that back and said everyone is an artist, because I do believe that myself. I believe that everyone has a gift, you know, and once you find that gift, can't no one do that gift like you do that gift. You know, even if it's someone
Absolutely.
Else who has the same gift, but your gift is special because only you can do it the way you, you know, you do it. So I agree with you on that one. And do you guys ever have any, like, special guest painters come through, you know, someone who you just love their art, you know, do you ever invite them to come through and help teach the class?
Absolutely. We don't really teach classes, but we do have live art in the sense that you'll see people painting. I like to engage local artists, but since the 7 years, what's been happening is artists from other communities and people from other communities have come into our community. So it's we have different artists that come out every time.
And how has that gone? Has people been able to adapt to other artists? Because they probably come there to see you, you know? So have they been able to adapt to the other people who are entering the room in the great space?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's one of those spaces where, again, there's no expectations to do anything. Like, if you want to come and just, like, eat the food and leave, you want to come and just chill out, if you want to perform, like, it's, you pretty much blend into a space where it's just good vibes and everybody's welcoming.
I'm with you on that. And how can people find your art? Like, how can people find more art? I know you have some things on Instagram that you know you let us see, but how can people find more art when it comes to purchasing and, you know, copying up a painting?
Okay, thank you for asking that. Right now, everything is done through Instagram. My website is getting set to launch February 8th on my birthday. But for right now, you can find my artwork on Instagram at kofis_art. So that's KOFIS_ART.
Have you ever sold a painting to someone and you actually seen it hanging up around and you were like, yo, that's my art? Like, have you ever, you know, just walked or stumbled across one of your art? Your paintings hanging up or something like that?
No, but I get messages every time, like a lot, just people saying, hey, Kof, I saw your painting at my friend's house, or I saw your painting at this restaurant. So I haven't come across any myself, except for the restaurants that I sell directly to. But in terms of like just randomly coming across them, no.
That's dope. I cannot wait till you find that moment. And I promise you, you're not going to stop. I feel like your fire is going to get start burning a little bit more, man. That's going to be a great one. Do you duplicate your art at all? Do you make the same picture twice?
Absolutely. Some of my pieces I do make available for print on paper and canvas. Others I sell as one of a kind.
Do you feel some type of way, like when people, because you know how some artists, they say, I don't duplicate anything. Do you think that, you know, that's a problem? Or do you think that people should feel some type of way when people are duplicating, you know, their art multiple times?
I don't know. For me, it's whatever works for you. There's certain pieces that I prefer not to duplicate, and that's a personal thing. And like a lot of times it's between myself and the person that I'm painting for. So if they prefer for me not to duplicate it, I won't. And then there's other pieces that are so popular that I want to share with as many people as possible. So if other artists want to duplicate this stuff, it really it's none of my business. I feel like it's a personal choice.
I have a question. So how important do you feel art plays into society, like the role that art plays into society? How important do you think that is?
Like I mentioned earlier, it's a universal language. It's one of those things that it connects people. Definitely, when it comes to politics, when it comes to how we interact with each other, art just plays a major role in a lot of that. Man, I could go on forever about this topic. I just feel like Yeah, it all comes down to art being a universal language, and the way that we're so diverse as a people, and a lot of times our interests and agendas are different. It's always important to have key things to connect us, to help us speak the same language.
Do you think that art is being, and I haven't been to Toronto, so I want to know how you feel about this. Do you think that art is being lost when it comes to education? And if you can speak about it from, you know, a Toronto point of view, you know, coming from Canada, do you think that, because I can say here in America, it's definitely being lost. They do not put money into the arts. They don't actually put as much effort or energy as they should in the arts. So is it different there in Toronto? Do you think that they actually put money into the arts when it comes to education?
I'll start by acknowledging that, you know, there's a lot of programs in Toronto dedicated to, you know, the arts. But in the same breath, I would say that there isn't enough. I think it's one of those things that's really underestimated. And there definitely could be a lot more money put into the arts and a lot more opportunities for emerging artists, because it definitely does feed into the economy in so many different ways.
And would you say that Toronto is a place where you can come to find, you know, different artworks, different artists, you know, youth involvement when it comes to the art? Like, is that a place where people should travel to come see some beautiful art?
Absolutely. The artists that I've come across since, you know, starting my art journey, you guys would be blown away. There are so many like dope artists here. And if you come, and because we're so diverse in Toronto, again, the different types of styles that you'll see, it'll blow you away.
I'm with you on that, man. And I want to say thank you. I got to get up there to Toronto so I can see that art as well. And I definitely would love to come on to come to Freedom Fridays just so I can see what I can do with a paintbrush. You know what I mean? I definitely want to see what I can do with a paintbrush.
Okay.
I say thank you once again for supporting us here on Revive. I wish you many blessings in your futures endeavors. And I want to definitely stay connected to see how we can get up there with you.
Absolutely. Let's make it happen.
But one more time.
And thank you for having me.
No problem. But one more time before I let you go, go ahead and shout yourself out, your Instagram, and how they can find some of your art right now. And also, February 8th again? You said February 8th is when that website is releasing?
Yes, ma'am. February 8th, that's when my website launches. But for now, if you hit me up on Instagram, at Kofis_art, that's KOFIS_ART. That's where you'll find everything. I live in my DMs, so the quickest way to get a hold of me is through the DM.
Awesome, man. Kofi, I just want to say thank you once again, and I wish you have I already know, Kofi, that you're going to do some incredible things. And once I get my studio up and coming, I'm coming to get a painting, man. I'm coming to get a painting. You have to hang one up in my studio. I appreciate you, man. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
No problem. That wraps up a great interview with Kofi Art, man. Make sure you guys go cop some of his artwork. He's doing an incredible job out there in Toronto, Canada, man. We have two artists coming from Toronto, Canada today, so I'm really excited about today's show. It's about the arts, man. We're definitely making today's show about the arts, and we definitely dropped some financial literacy on there for you guys, too, man. It's the top of the year. It's the top of the year, man. Once again, stay warm. Stay warm. I am not going to let that go because I am freezing right now. I am freezing. I'm inside, and I'm still freezing. My toes, man. I got two pairs. I just, like, on a break, y'all, I had to go put another pair of socks on. I'm like, yo, who got some socks? Because it's cold up in here, like, what is going on, man? We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be up next with our final guest for today, which is another artist coming out of Toronto, Canada. Harmony, who we got coming up?
Yes, we have Daniel Forrester. He's a visual artist as well, based in Toronto, Canada. So we're excited to bring him on Revive, definitely.
We got to get up there, man. We got to get up there. Toronto, where you at, man? I'm coming. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.
Hey, I'm Anthony, and I'm here to talk to you about Rethink Breast Cancer's Your Man Reminder. It's an app that gives you regular reminders to check your breasts from a hot guy of your choice.
Hey there. How you doing?
Hey, baby.
It also shows you how to check yourself. Hello. With a little something we like to call TLC. The T stands for touch. Start by touching your breasts in any way that feels comfortable for you. Try to be familiar with them and the way that they feel. You know, you can do this anywhere, like on your bed, in the mirror, or even in the shower. Now the L in TLC stands for look, and for this one, you're gonna need to use your eyes. Be on the lookout for anything unusual, and if you want to, have a friend check you out. And finally, the C in TLC stands for check. If you notice anything out of the ordinary, even if you're not sure, check with your doctor. Isn't that right, doctor?
That's right, Anthony. You see, TLC is a great way to help detect breast cancer early.
Download Rethink Breast Cancer's Your Man Reminder app today. Now available for free in the App Store.
I just like the sound of it.
Body says, I'm tired, or I'm hungry. Are you listening? Would you listen if your body said, I have pain and pressure in my abdomen, I feel bloated for no good reason, or I get too full too fast? I'm spotting, but I've already gone through menopause. Or I have to go to the bathroom more often and more urgently than usual. These can be signs of a gynecologic cancer, like cervical, ovarian, uterine, vaginal, and vulvar cancers. Symptoms aren't the same for everyone. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen. And if it goes on for 2 or more weeks, see a doctor. It may be nothing, but find out for sure. Learn the symptoms and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about.
Yep. You know what time it is. We are live right now on reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. You are listening to me, your girl, POC, live on your airways. I'm reviving your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Sunday, people. I need you guys to give me a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Man, tune in right now. Spread the word. You can catch us live on reviveisalive.com, or you can go directly to TuneIn. You can search Time for an Awakening on the website, or you can download the app and just search Time for an Awakening to hit Meet Your Girl POC Reviving Your Airways each and every Sunday morning with that good Sunday morning talk radio. And you can catch us at Revive_POC Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But let's jump right into it with our next guest, man, coming from Toronto, Canada as well. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming up on the platform?
Yes, we have the visual artist based in Toronto, Canada, Daniel E. Forrester. His brand name is Art of DEF1111. He's been doing art since the age of 4 and did the craft on and off for years. In 2015, he decided to get back into visual art. And in 2016, one of the most troubling times, he decided to fully pursue it And live his purpose. Some of his goals is to share his story, African mythology, the Black American experience, and bring confidence to Black males while sharing the issues we face. Welcome to Revive.
Welcome to Revive, Daniel. How you feeling today?
I'm good. Peace and good afternoon to everybody.
Yes, peace and blessings, man. I appreciate you coming on Revive and supporting us, man. You are live right now. We were just speaking with someone from Toronto, so I already know you're cold because I'm freezing. I'm not letting it go, man.
I'm familiar with Kofi. Salute to Kofi. He's a real good dude. He's been helping me out a lot, actually, just getting my name out there in the art world and in the Toronto scene and everything. So salute to Kofi. Very good dude.
No doubt. Thank you for that, man. I appreciate that. We were trying to find a way how we can get two dope artists from Canada on, and we was like, yo, these are the two gentlemen right here. Man, no shade to the women out there in Toronto, but you guys are holding it down, and your art is amazing. But before we get started, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself. I know we did, but I want you to do it for yourself.
Yes. So my name is Daniel E. Forrester. My brand is Art of Death 1111. Death is just the initials of my name. 1111, if you're familiar with numerology, that's just magical numbers, basically. It's numbers that mean translating a message. My purpose with my art is to share my experiences that I've been through, but also try to inspire people at the same time and express some of the things that Black people as a whole go through and Black males.
With you on that, man, and you're doing it with a pen. You know, some people, you know, scream like, we all have a voice, we all have a voice, but we also have a pen too. You know, sometimes we forget that we also have a pen too, where we can write out our expressions, we can draw out our expressions, we can paint our expressions, and that's exactly what you're doing, man. Exactly what you're doing, and I love what you're doing. And I love the analogy with the 1111, because I'm someone who, every time I see 1111, like time wise I get excited, and I was like, yo, it's 1111, but I never thought about it in a way where you said it's a way to express messages. So that's pretty dope.
And the thing with the 1111 is that once you see it, you'll never stop seeing it. And if you take that moment to really take into account the goals that you want to accomplish, this is what I found personally, you'll end up doing it.
Wow. See,
it will manifest.
I never really thought that deep into it, but I don't even know why my subconscious always finds 1111, but you just put that in me. So I appreciate that.
There
I
you gotta, go. Well, you guys saw me and my name has 1111 in it, right? So
exactly, right? Exactly. I'm with you on that. So what kind of artist would you say you are? Because I'm sitting here looking, and it's not really like painting. It's more like drawing, correct?
Yeah. So I don't paint. Eventually, I do want to get into painting. Right now, I deal with pencil and charcoal as my main medium, and I try to focus more on realism when using those mediums. I also do a bit of comic book art, so I'll use pen and ink. And I also do some pencil crayon work, and with pencil crayons, I still try to aim for realism in that sense also.
So you said you call it pencil ink. I never heard of that before. So,
no, sorry. I mean pen and ink. Pen and ink. Sorry.
Pen and ink. Okay. Pen and ink. So.
Yeah.
So you're drawing this all from like just freehanding, like you're just free drawing this.
Sometimes I do use references. If it's a portrait of somebody, then I use a reference because I want to get it as accurate as possible. A lot of stuff I just draw from my imagination, and I just let my hand guide me wherever it's gonna go.
So when you say reference, what does that mean? Like, what is a reference? Because I'm thinking like, you know, someone referred me. So, but when you say reference, what do you mean in the art term?
So a reference in the art term or in the art world, it's if I'm going to draw, let's say I'm going to draw a picture of you, I would take one of your photographs and pick out key things of your portrait.
Okay.
Just to get it exactly looking like you.
I'm with you. I gotta come up there. Do you teach any classes?
No, I do not. Not at the moment. I have had offers, but there's a lot of things I have in the works coming up, going up to 2020, 2021. Hey. So my thing is I want to accomplish those goals. And then once I get over those, then I'm going to start branching out and doing other things. But it's definitely something I want to do.
Yes, man. And when you said 2020 and 2021, that's that forward thinking we need, man. I'm probably,
that's right.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm definitely thinking in the future. That's that forward thinking. And like, I want to say one thing that I also took from your drawings is that it's more like a comic book kind of feel, like a comic book kind of style. Would you say that for yourself?
Yeah.
Would you reference that?
Hello?
Would you reference it, that narrative for yourself?
I grew up with comic books, so it's always played a role in my life. Especially, I come from sort of a traumatic childhood, you could say. So in those times, I found solitude in reading comic books and just confiding in my own space and in that own environment. It was kind of an escape into another world. So years later, I try to translate that through my work.
So would you say that comic book drawing and illustration is still your muse to this day? Like, what actually keeps you going when it comes to writing? I mean, drawing, I apologize.
What keeps me going is just everyday life, pretty much. Just seeing the interactions with that people are having, my own interactions, the things that are going on in the media. And I take those things and I try to put a spin on it and try to give a sense of empowerment, in a sense. If people are familiar with my Luke Cage and Trayvon Martin piece, yes, it was a tragic event that happened. It was very sad. But I inserted Luke Cage in there to kind of show that, hey, this is a black male figure, and what if we had more of these to kind of guide our youth and also protect our youth?
Yes, man, definitely. And I love that even the combination, you have a lot of different combinations. You have, you know, you have the Bob Marley, you have the, is that Tupac and Michael Jordan?
No, that picture, it's Tupac, Malcolm X, and Huey P. Newton, which is the co-founder of the Black Panther Party.
Well, no, I wasn't even talking about that. I was talking about the one where you said you were honored completing this project, being able to present it. It was one that you did back in June of this year, June of 2017, I'm sorry.
Yes. That was from two community activists. They're part of the Black Conscious Community. Their names are Red and Blue Pill.
Because you have like the, what do you, I call them the Hampton Hands. What do you call them?
The Hansy Hands?
Yeah, like the Hannah Fatima.
The Hannah Fatima,
and
yes.
And then you have the Aya Horus, you have the Unk on there. Like, yeah. You did a lot with that. You even have like the monuments behind them. Are they from Washington?
No, they're actually from New York. They're from Harlem, I believe. Actually went and met them at the Brooklyn Art Festival
How did you come up with this design, though? Like, this one is the one that caught my eye, for real. Like, or did they say, this is what I'm looking for? Or did you just freehand this one? Like, how did you come up with this design? This is crazy. Because you even got the screen
for,
in there. You got the for the exception
of their actual portrait, everything was just freehand. And what I try to do is, I know a bit about history. So I try to incorporate things that pertain to a certain person. So you see the two pillars, that pertains to them. Because if you know about Egyptian history, you know about the obelisk and what that means when it comes to twins. The Hand of Fatima, I have the Ankhs in it, and the Ankh meaning life. And then the Hand of Fatima is a connection of God. So it all plays together. There's a lot of symbolism in my work.
Yes, that's what caught my eye. So, you know, I'm going to ask, right, what's the 4-4 for? You didn't put the third 4, you just put 2. You put 44. So, what's that number?
So, Blue Pill, he just like me, how I resonate with the number 11, or I resonate with a series of 1s, he resonates with the number 44. And that's a whole other conversation. It goes really deep. But, I included that element because that's a number that pertains to him and where he draws his power and inspiration from.
Okay. And now I do want to jump a little bit back into the artwork you did with Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton, and Tupac. That's a very wide combination and definitely a dramatic touch to it that you put on there. And I love how you put Tupac in the front. I ain't going to lie. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to lie. You know what I'm saying? Why put that combination of people together? Because they all, they had one common purpose, of course, but they all stood for different platforms of how to get that one common purpose done.
Very true. The reason why I put those three together is because all three of them have been influential to me at different points in my life. The first being, and in specific order, like how you see in the picture. So the first being Malcolm X. Before I was put in school, my brother and my mother had me reading Malcolm X. I couldn't comprehend it at the time, but as I got older, I got to understand his message. Huey P. Newton, in my early 20s, he gave me a sense of fire in my spirit that him at my age, he accomplished so much, so why can't I accomplish just as much? And then Tupac is Tupac, man. Tupac has a good side and understand what he was trying to do in his message.
I'm with you on that one. And then the one thing I would say about Huey P. Newton is, like, once I really truly did my research about the Black Panther Party, Huey P. Newton was one who, he allowed the background and the noise drown him out, because when it came to the mental health and the PTSD of it all, he was definitely one to reap the effect of it. You know what I mean? It affected him in so many different ways. But he definitely did a great job when he was on the front line of, you know, everything great that came with the Black Panther Party, though. But it's just like, I can't get jiggy with Huey P. Newton all the time because I know the end story for him, you know. And not saying that I cannot diminish anything that he did do. It's just that his end story was crazy. So that was just one
thing. Very understandable. And my thing is that all three of those men, as many people, all of us, we all have our vices and we all have paths. I see life like we have two set paths, a good path and a bad path. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some of us go down the wrong one. And my thing is that to take the good from what these people have done and try to apply it to yourself so that you don't make the same mistakes they did and that you can help yourself and also the people around you.
Yes. Okay, Daniel. Once again, you are listening to Meet Your Girl PLC and Daniel E. Foster, man. I'm really excited to be speaking with him. He is a visual artist coming out of Toronto, Canada right now. You are listening to Meet Your Girl PLC live on Revive right now with Daniel Foster. Am I saying your last name right?
No, you're not.
I'm sorry.
It's Forrester.
Forrester. I'm sorry. They wrote
yes,
it
that's right. It's okay. Daniel Forrester. It's almost.
No, I appreciate you, man. Definitely. Art of Death 1111, man. Once again, Art of Death 1111. So what is one of the most proudest pieces that you have put out so far?
Oh, man, that's a big question. You know what? I'm going to say that the Pac and Malcolm and Huey piece has to be the one that I hold close to me. And it's just because of the relationship that I've had with their messages. And I used to write a spoken word. So I did a spoken word piece in 2009 about all three of them. So they've always been instrumental.
So you got many talents. Okay, I hear you. That's the art of death. You know what I'm saying? I came to kill. You never know which way I'm coming, right? That's
right.
I love that. And that just happened to be, you know, your initials. So that was a great spin on that. I love how you did that. That's why you're an artist, right? You got some good spins on that. What would you say, what kind of message that your art is putting out? Because as you're thinking about it, like, do you feel as though your art is solving any kind of problems?
I don't think, hello?
I'm listening.
Yeah, I don't think, maybe not directly, or maybe it is, but I'd say it definitely opens up some conversations, and from conversations is where we have possible solutions, and from possible solutions is where we have change.
gem. You just dropped the gem. Definitely just dropped the gem. I feel the same way. I feel like conversation is what's going to bring back that unity, because now we will be able to understand why you're thinking the way you're thinking and why you're moving the way you're moving based on one single conversation. So I agree with you on that. And definitely, because your paintings, well, your drawings, I apologize, is definitely starting conversations in the studio. Because as we're looking through your Instagram, we're like, yo, I love how you put that that superhero, superwoman comic together. You know, you have the Hawk, you have Spider-Man, you have Superman. Like, how did you come up with those creative pieces like that when it comes to, you know, your superhero comics?
The superhero and comics, that's just me being a comic book fan. There's some people like Superman and Hulk that have never really squared off that I've always wanted to see square off. So I put together certain ideas which are like a what-if scenario. And that's where that inspiration comes from. It's just the kid in me, pretty much.
I love it, man. You got to stay sane sometimes. Sometimes you just got to stay sane.
Peace and blessings. Right. This is Harmony the Goddess. I absolutely admire your work that you do. One of the pieces that I want you to talk more about is the throwback that you did in 2016 of your perception of God in us and that we are God. Do you know which one I'm referring to?
Yes. You're speaking about the piece where the guy is holding his third eye and he's looking at himself.
Yeah. Can you go more in depth?
Yes. Sure. So that piece came out of me being at a point in my life where I was trying to sort out what exactly is God, if God is just a concept or if God is an actual being, or if God is the universe and the universe within ourselves. And while I was there thinking, it hit me that, yes, there might be a higher power, very likely, but also we have that power inside ourselves. And it's not until that we recognize that power that we can manifest many things on this earth. Just a simple thought, like take an artist for instance, just a simple thought on a blank piece of paper, and you create something that causes conversation or invokes some sort of emotion or even has the ability to change a person's outlook on life. That's almost godlike. I would say that's godlike.
With you on that, man. You got a lot of different gems inside of you, man, and I know that they're going to continuously come out in your art. I appreciate you, Daniel, for coming on the Revive platform, and I love your signature move, man, what you do with the three pencils in between your fingers, like that Wolverine kind of look. I love that signature. How did you come up with
that? Well, once again, that's just me, comic book fan, and I wanted to do something unique. I always strive to be myself. I never try to fit into what's popular or do what's trendy. I just be myself. And then at the end of the day, people are going to appreciate that a lot more.
I agree. You got to be your authentic self, man. No one likes a fake person. So the fact that you're being yourself actually makes people want to, you know, draw more attention to you. Because I'm like, yo, who is this guy with the comic and a Wolverine impression? I'm loving it, man. And then you scroll down further, you're like, yo, he is an artist for real, you know what I mean? So I appreciate the work that you're putting out, man. Continue to put the work out. Continue to put that message out, because you're you know, you're waking people up. You're waking up their third eye, you know, with your different drawings. So I appreciate that. But before we let you go, I definitely want you to introduce yourself once again, how the people can find you, if you have a website, how can they purchase some of your art if you do have any for sale?
Yes, most definitely. So first of all, peace and power to everybody. My name is Daniel E. Forrester, also known as Art of Death 1111. You can find me, and the best way to contact me is through Instagram, Art of Death 1111. You could also find some of my work. I do sell prints at deathart1111.bigcartel.com.
Thank you, man. Daniel, I appreciate it. I already know you're going to have a blessed 2018, and I'm definitely going to try to send you over some art to see if you can capture a visual for me and the Revive team over here. I appreciate you coming on and supporting, Daniel. I wish you many blessings in your future endeavors.
All the same to you all as well. Peace, and thank you for having me on today.
No doubt. Let Toronto know we are alive. If you have anyone else who, you know, has a special talent that needs to be heard here on Revive, please send them over to us, man. Daniel, please keep the network alive.
Most definitely.
No doubt. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you.
That just wraps up another interview from another great Toronto artist, man. Toronto is moving right now. I got to get out there, people. I'm going to Toronto just in the summer, like around June, July. I am not going right now. It is freezing. I can barely take the weather here in Philly, man. You already know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We just had an incredible show here on Revive Radio, man. Revive is alive 3 days a week. You can catch us live on DG Radio every Monday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can also catch us live on Time for an Awakening twice a week. We go back to back every Wednesday. We are winning on Time for an Awakening. You can find us live from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And each and every Sunday, we got that good Sunday morning talk radio for you guys. And you already know you can catch us live on what? Reviveisalive.com. Once again, that website is reviveisalive.com. This is my baby, man. I put that work in so you can guys can have a place so you can hear me live on air. Revive is Alive, man. You can catch some dope interviews, some recaps. You can catch some Revive merchandise on there as well. Harmony puts together some great stories for all the events that we pull up at. So make sure you guys definitely go read those recaps. And you can catch some Revive news and press release as well, because we're going to different events as well coming up in 2018. So make sure you guys check out reviveisalive.com.
Yes, peace and blessings to you all. And, you know, stay warm, stay live, vibe high, live in peace, not pieces. It's Harmony, the goddess, coming to you live with POC.
Oh, you're not feeling the AKA this morning? You're not feeling it? It must be, nah. It must be too cold. It must be too cold, right? Or it must be too cold, nah. But definitely shout out to everybody who's listening and supporting, man. You can also, I forgot to mention, you can also drop some comments on that website now so you can tell us what we need to improve, what we need to put out. If you are a freelance journalist and you are looking for your articles to be live on reviveisalive.com, please send them over at revive.poc@gmail.com. If you're a freelance photographer and you guys you got some shots that you want to be seen on our website, please send them over. This is for the people. We are reviving your airways. We are reviving you guys. We are reviving the community for a reason, because we want to help other people grow and thrive each and every day. So once again, if you're a freelance artist or a freelance photographer and you're looking for somewhere for your art to be stored, reviveisalive.com is the place to be. Once again, reviveisalive.com is the place to be. And you can donate. We got a donate button so you can keep reviving Live, you know what I'm saying? Because the lights don't pay themselves. So we need you guys to help us keep Revive Alive. And you can click that donate button at the bottom of the homepage right now to support us here at Revive. Thank you once again, man. We're live tomorrow, every Monday on DG Radio from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tune in. We have a really special guest coming up for you guys tomorrow, so you do not want to miss us live tomorrow, 8 p.m. And you can catch us once again at reviveisalive.com. Yeah, you know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. Man, thank you guys once again. And we added it. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears.